Good morning. Hi, I'm Kyle Smith. I'm the director of worship at Grace's Lindale campus. So typically on a Sunday morning, I would be in Lindale leading worship, but I'm really happy to be here preaching this morning. It's so good to see some of my friends from UB to be led by Kyle in worship. I love that guy. I'm a Kyle too. And you know, when you've been on staff somewhere for several years, like I have here, when they hire a guy younger than you, who's more talented than you, who has more hair than you, you start wondering if they're trying to tell you something. But if they're trying to tell me something, I don't listen good, so we're fine. So I hope you listen good, because I want to tell you a story. Recently, one of my best friends and I left to go ride mountain bikes while our families jumped off a building. I'll repeat that. Recently, one of my best friends and I went to go ride mountain bikes while our families jumped off a building. The true story. Our families were going to jump off a building, so we just went to go ride mountain bikes. Now, the building was built with the intent that people would jump off of it. They were secured in harnesses attached to substantial safety equipment. We were at a family camp where the guides were trained and certified to lead us in this activity. And we did leave our wives to lug the water bottles and the safety gear, to put on the helmets, to fit the harnesses, to apply sunscreen, to take pictures and videos, to make memories. But sometimes a man just needs to ride a bike, right? Am I right? Sometimes you just need to leave the safety and comfort of our daily life to be reminded of the fragility of life in your body as you ride a bike down a mountain. Here's a picture of us on our ride. I'm kidding. Ours was way more dangerous than that. But the camp that we attend, they're really intentional about adventure, about doing the hard thing, about seeing something, about it stirring some fear up in you. You doing it and overcoming the hard thing and seeing what you're capable of. Here's a video of my sweet May jumping off the building I told you about. So it's the first step off that's the hard thing. Once you do that first step, you're fine. But it's what we perceive to be the hard thing that's our biggest obstacle. There's a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness. Do honor your father and mother." And the rich ruler said to Jesus, "What? I've done all of this since my youth." And Jesus said, "Okay, well, one thing that you lack, sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." But when the ruler heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. See, the ruler had done all the things, right? He had checked all the boxes. He had done everything he was supposed to, except the hard thing. He couldn't do the hard thing and give up his wealth. He asked Jesus about eternal life, but what he really cared about were his earthly treasures. He cared more about what he had here and now than what he could store up in heaven. He couldn't do the hard thing, and what did he miss out on? It was life with Jesus. Jesus said, "Get rid of all this stuff that you're clinging so tightly to and come with me. Come do life with me." And he couldn't do it. He couldn't do the hard thing. So he becomes the only person we see in the gospel who walks away from Jesus more broken than he had been. So we're in chapter 2 today in 2 Timothy in our series on Timothy, and we're going to see Paul telling Timothy to do the hard thing. And we're going to see some eternal truths here where we are called to do the hard thing. So let's pray and we'll look at the text. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for its ability to change us today. We invite you to do that. God, we thank you that your spirit is here, moving and working. We need you. Help us to see Jesus today. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So Grace Community Church is all about being disciples who make disciples for the glory of God. I'm a guest today, so I don't think I'll get in trouble. I can say it. That's hard. If you really want to be a disciple who makes disciples, it's hard. But we're going to look at today as believers how we are called to do the hard thing. But before we go any further, we need to answer the question, what is the hard thing? In 2 Timothy 2, Paul is telling Timothy it's time for him to step up, take the reins of leadership, and be a leader. That's really specific to this letter and what was happening, but we're going to look at some truths that apply to us today. So first thing, the hard thing God is calling you to requires more strength than you have. Paul told Timothy, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You're going to need more strength than you have, and that strength is in Jesus. It's found in a relationship with him. When we seek God, when we look to his guidance, we find strength. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." It says, focus on him. Focus on his truth, and he'll give us guidance. The hard thing is still there, right? The challenges are not going away, but when we seek him in the midst of it, he guides us on the path. So the hard thing also involves suffering. Paul told Timothy, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. It's a reality that the life of a disciple carries challenge. We know that, and we've seen that God gives us strength to face it. There's a time when Jesus was teaching his followers, and he gave them a hard lesson. He said, hey, here's what it really takes to follow me. Here's what it really means to be a disciple. And some of the people who were there just said, you know what, this is too much. He's asking too much of us. I can't do it. I can't do the hard thing. So they left. They stopped following him. So Jesus went to his inner circle, his 12 guys, and he said, do you want to go? Is this too much for you? And Peter spoke up for the group and he said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. So we do the hard thing. We are disciples who make disciples. We follow Jesus because he has the words of eternal life. That's why Paul told Timothy, come get you some suffering. It's going to happen. I don't want to brag, but I have a friend who's a doctor. His name is Dr. Steve Jones. He says this. He said, sometimes we know what God wants you to do, but you wait for him to make it easier. But the thing is, you can't steer a parked car. If we're going to be used by God and do the hard thing, it's going to be hard. It involves suffering, but it's temporary because it's on the road to eternal life. Finally, the hard thing in your life is probably something that's surrounded with controversy. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy. Verse 14, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. Verse 16, avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And verse 23, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. So the hard things we're called to as believers are surrounded by controversy because while very few people are doing the hard thing, a lot of people are standing around talking about it, saying, well, we shouldn't do it that way, if we should even do it at all. And Paul says, don't engage in that. You keep doing the hard thing and let them talk about it, okay? Because when we're busy being the church, when we're busy being and making disciples, we usually don't have time to talk about our preferences or peripheral things that really belong on the sidelines. So the hard things we're called to as believers, they require more strength than we have, they involve suffering, and they're controversial. Does that excite you? It's like the worst halftime speech ever. Come on, guys, we're down by 30. We have a hard thing in front of us. It's going to take more than you have. It's going to involve suffering, and it's going to be controversial. So this obviously leads to our next question. Why do it? Why do the hard thing? This is really easy to answer. Because God did it for us. Paul writes, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. If we've died with him, we'll live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So God gave Jesus for us. Remember when we were sinners, so that we could live, so that we could reign with him. And he did the hard thing. He suffered. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was spit on. He died. He endured agony so we wouldn't have to. So it's as simple as that. We do the hard thing because God did it for us. So now we ask, how do we do the hard thing? We saw that it won't be easy, but we do it not to earn God's favor or love, but because we have it, because he did the hard thing for us. So the first step in doing the hard thing is to remember what God has done. Paul told Timothy, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Remember that he lived. Remember that he suffered. Remember that he is alive and he gives us grace and strength. Amen? Hallelujah. We can go to brunch. I think that says it all. We're to remember. But we're so quick to forget. So we fight that forgetting by looking to Jesus, by keeping our eyes on him. Remember, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So when we find ourselves in a pickle, if you find yourselves in a pickle, there should be a lot of questions to ask. How did I get in a pickle? How big is this pickle? Get it, if you're really in a pickle. But when we find ourselves in a place that we have to endure suffering, we remind ourselves of what God has done in the past. We exercise our faith. Our faith is not a switch that's on or off. Faith is a muscle that has to be used and strengthened. And we exercise that muscle by looking to Jesus, in all our ways acknowledging him. You know, the disciples were in a boat one time and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if that's you, call to me. Tell me to come out to you. So Jesus said, come on, Pete. If you've read much or heard much about Peter, he's not the kind of guy who would like dip his toe in to check the water. He's like one of those cartoon characters whose legs were going before he hit the ground. So he jumps out of the boat, hits the water, man, he drops the hammer wide open. He's heading to Jesus. He's like, Jesus, I'm doing it. I'm coming to you. I'm walking. I'm running to you, Jesus. I feel the wind and I see the waves. When he took his eyes off of Jesus and when he looked at his situation and his circumstance, he sank. When he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at his circumstances, it pulled him down. So Jesus came to him, lifted him out of the water and said, why did you doubt me? Why did you take your eyes off me? Keep your eyes on me. Psalm 121, it's a song that God's people would sing on their journey to Jerusalem. So the path that they'd be walking was in the shadows of the hills that surround and protect Jerusalem. And the hills represent strength and power. So the writer of this song that they would sing when they were there said, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And it's so tempting to look for comfort or security in people or in things of this world, but our true help comes from God who made this world. So we look to him. So we do the hard thing by remembering who Jesus is and looking to him. We also do the hard thing with expectation. God has done miracles in the past, so why not now? It's like we sang before, you've never failed me, why would you now? Paul says what seems impossible to us is possible with God. He said the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. What he's saying in that is, be gentle to people who don't believe the truth. Even those who've fallen in the devil's trap are his prisoner, his slave for evil, because even then, God could change their heart and they could be saved. Would that be a miracle? Like someone who is a slave of the devil becoming our brother in Christ? I have literally seen that happen. My wife and I had a friend. She was literally a slave of the devil. And she was saved. And she honored and praised God and shared Jesus with people like very few people have ever known until the day she died. I've seen that happen. So why not again? Do you know somebody like that? Maybe they're not the devil, but boy, they may be a close second. Like, oh, I know this guy. He's a horrible person. That guy will never change. Or this one, man, the way she lives, there's no hope for her. But thankfully, God has a different perspective. He's in control. He has the final word. In case you forgot, he wins in the end. Listen to this picture of Jesus in Revelation. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. If he holds the keys of the grave, can't he change the life of somebody who's headed there? So we do the hard thing. We endure suffering with expectation because of what he can do. One of my best friends, him and his wife, are walking through a really, really hard season right now. She's suffering with some medical issues, and the doctors can't give any explanations. And I was praying for them, and I was asking God to give them answers, and I feel like God reminded me of who he was, and he said, why don't you ask me to heal in a way that can't be explained? So I changed the way I'm praying for them. So I tell you what, how about we pray now? We're not done. I don't want the band to hear me and run up here in a panic. Maybe I do. That's normally me. So it might be nice to see somebody else do the quiet. But let's pray. With in mind that Jesus is alive, that he holds the keys of death and the grave, let's pray for the things that seem impossible to us, for health that's failing, for relationships that are broken, for hearts and minds that have lost hope, let's pray. God, thank you for the reminder that you are in control, that you hold the keys of death and the grave. I thank you, we sang truth this morning, that you bring light to the darkness, you bring hope to the hopeless, you restore. God, with you, all things are possible. So I pray this morning, where there's discouragement, that you would bring hope. Where there is chaos, that you'd bring rest. Where there's darkness, that you'd bring light. Where there's just apathy, that you would stir the joy of our salvation. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what happens when we do the hard thing? Paul told Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And he talks about people who've manipulated the truth, and he says, God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. When we're faithful and do the hard thing, we honor God. We bear his seal, and he says, this one is mine. When we're proud of something, we want to put our name on it, right? Our family recently watched the Indy 500 car race. We really got a kick out of watching the winning driver pour the milk on his head. Are you familiar with this? So these drivers have been driving over 3 hours, It's well over 100 degrees in their car. The average sustained heart rate for these drivers is around 175. There's no bathroom in those cars. And the winner pours a bottle of milk on his head. So naturally, we had to see this. But while we were watching it, I noticed something. In the 2 or 3 minutes it took to dump the milk and answer a couple of interview questions, the driver changed his hat 3 times. 3 different sponsors paid what I assume is like a staggering amount of money to have their name on the winner. They wanted the winning driver wearing their hat. When we do the hard thing, it says God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows who are his. He says, this one's mine. And we bear his seal, his name. When we do the hard thing, we honor God. Okay, so we've looked at what the hard thing is, why we should do it, what happens when we do it. So how about you? What's your hard thing? Where do you feel God calling you? Is there something you know you should do, but it might involve some discomfort? Or maybe there's something you know you should stop doing, but you fear losing the comfort that it brings temporarily? Or maybe you feel bound or chained by something in your life. Remember Paul's perspective. He said, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead as I preach my gospel for which I'm suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. That's why Paul endured his suffering. He was in chains. He was bound, but he knew God can't be bound. God can't be limited. He knew God could use this hard thing for good. And the same is true for you. The hard thing before you, God can use it for good. We know for those who love God, all things work together for good. The hard things, the things that require more strength than we have, the things that involve suffering, God uses them for good. So is God speaking anything specific to you? Is he laying anything on your heart? Maybe it's that you don't really know him. And if that's the case, I want to tell you, he knows you. And he loves you. Like our text said today, he died, and if we died with him, we live. And he loves you not because of anything you've done, but because he loves you, because you are his. And all the promises we talked about today are offered to you. If we die with him, we live with him, even when we're faithless, he is faithful because he loves you. And maybe you are saved, but you've kind of drifted away. You've been living for yourself, missing out on the fullness of life he promises. Or maybe you are called to hard things. Maybe he's stirring in your heart that you need to forgive somebody that you don't want to. Like maybe there's a phone call you need to make today. Maybe there's something you need to confess. Wherever you find yourself today, God is faithful to meet you right there. Even if you're at rock bottom, even if today you were in the deepest, darkest place you've ever known. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because God's with me. Not because you're strong, not because you're smart, not because you're really, really good looking. Fear no evil because God is with you. He's faithful to meet you wherever you are today. So this is an adventure we had at family camp a few years ago. That's my son Wyatt and me on a mountain scooter. That's exactly what it sounds like. A scooter with giant tires that you ride down a mountain. Like, what could go wrong? We had a blast, you know, like two guys with not yet fully developed brains would. After a few successful trips down the mountain, we started suffering from this medical condition. It's called a swollen ego. I took a turn too fast. We pulled a couple of G's. We entered Mach 10, and we found out that helmets really do work. So we had done the hard thing already. Like the first ride down the mountain was a scary, hard thing. And we had done it. We got overly confident and then we got hurt. Now we knew there was a risk. We knew there could be some pain involved. We also knew we weren't going home afraid of those scooters. So we talked. We said, I think we can do it again. So we did the hard thing. We got back on. We did the hard thing and flew down the mountain. So maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been burned. Maybe you can't imagine God being a loving father because you had a hateful earthly father. You didn't have an earthly father. Maybe you're like the rich ruler who, you're a good person. You're always working, you're always striving, you're always serving others and pouring out, but you come to Jesus and he says, those things you do are great. But what I love is you. What I really desire is a relationship with you where you really trust me and really give me your heart. Wherever you are today, God is faithful to meet you right there. But he calls us to more. He calls us to the hard things in front of us. And he promises to walk through it with us. If we die with him, we live with him. If we endure, we reign with him. Even when we're faithless, he is faithful. So because of who Jesus is, because of what he's done, because of what he will do, we can face the hard things. So I'm going to pray, and this would be the appropriate time for the band to come up. So let's pray. God, we thank you. Thank you that as we see the realities of the hard things you call us to, we see the reality of who you are and how great you are. So we acknowledge you. We say, God, you are great and you are good. So would you make straight our paths? God, as we desire to know you more, as we desire to give you more of our hearts, thank you that you're faithful to meet us right there. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, God, I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, how I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Would you stand? Let's sing that prayer together.